Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, with co-host on the spot this time, Michael Bowen. Welcome back, Michael.
Thanks for having me, Sam. It's been too long.
Too long. We got a special guest in the studio this morning, Michael. James Massengill, Overton County fame, local businessman fame, Cumberland University fame. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sam. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
You've been on my list for a while, man. It's glad to finally pin you down and get you on the show, and I think we'll have a lot of fun with this one, so we're glad to have you, man.
Yes, my schedule is definitely clear. I don't get many requests.
Well, after this, you know, we are on the web, so after this, you may be getting some more requests.
Okay, that sounds great.
So, Michael, again, well, good to have you back, man. I'm going to just throw the first question to you and just put you on the spot real quick.
All right, sounds great. Well, James, certainly, as Sam said, the legend, the myth, the legend. So talk a little bit about growing up in Livingston, what sports you played, what your interests were.
Okay. Of course, grew up in Livingston, Tennessee, born and raised there. Always loved youth baseball, youth sports. Actually, could never play basketball. Always tried out in grade school. Tried out 4 years straight, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, never did make the team, so I always felt like I got robbed there. But went on to high school, played football and baseball there, and Derwood Vaughn wouldn't let me try out for the high school team basketball, or I would have had. I felt like I was as good as any of those guys, but obviously I wasn't.
I'll tell you what, it had some pretty dang good teams back then. You grew up some pretty good athletes, too, especially in the basketball side, so I see what you're saying there.
Yes.
A special place, Derwood Vaughn with me, you know, I grew up in or was born in Livingston, and my whole family's from Livingston, and I moved away when I was about 6 years old, but Derwood always kept in touch with my dad, and when I get into high school years, you know, he talked to me about coming back up there. Man, I almost pulled the trigger and went back to L.A., so that would have been interesting to see how that worked out. I think it worked out pretty good anyway, though, but, you know, got a lot of roots there, love Livingston, spent about every weekend at the golf course over at Hidden Valley with my dad playing golf, so know a lot of folks up there.
Yes, special place, still is to me for sure.
So, James, growing up in Livingston was a special time for you. Before we get into that, won't you introduce us to your family?
My wife is Leanne Massengill. She's a dental hygienist here in Cookeville. We've been married 25 years, bless her heart. I've got three boys. James is the oldest. He's finishing his master's up in cybersecurity at Tennessee Tech. So we're excited about that, and he's doing really well there. Clay is a junior at Tennessee Tech. He's on Tech's football team, and he's doing pre-dentistry and is doing really well. And then Jack, he's a sophomore at Cookeville High School, so he plays football, so we're super excited about that. So, but the family, they're all doing really well.
Man, only follow-up I got there is three boys.
Oh, and, wow. And I know we're going to talk about you playing growing up, but just talk for a minute about how special it's been watching your kids play. I know they're all good athletes, and I've watched them play, but what's that experience like?
It's been really special. It really has. The boys, all three, have had really good success. Jack's just kind of getting into his role there at the high school, and we expect big things out of him his junior and senior year at Cookeville, but James and Clay both had great careers at Cookeville High School, and it's just really special. I think they're both in the top 10 in tackles there, and they hold several top 10 records over there defensively, which, of course, we're all defensive guys, so that's really special, and I've gotten a lot more mellow with Jack. The first poor James Matthew, it's pretty rough on him. He didn't have much of a choice on sports, but the other two, I kind of slacked off with them and
learned that
we all weren't going to go play NFL. I guess at one point we probably thought James was during Pee Wee. He was towering above everyone else at one time. It was pretty dominant.
Well, it's pretty special. We'll mention each one of them, but, you know, James ended up going to Cumberland University and
yes,
playing ball there where you played,
yes,
which we'll talk about
right
here in a second. But how special was that, your first child and got the opportunity to go play college ball?
It was really neat. It really was. Of course, I'm in the Hall of Fame at Cumberland, and it really, just playing football at Cumberland opened me up to a lot of business opportunities and just a life I didn't know was out there, basically. So it was really special him going back, and he did well there. He just wanted to get in the engineering program at, and he's doing cyber engineering, cyber security at Tech. So we were a little disappointed when he came back after 2 years, but he had a good 2 years there and made a lot of good friends. And
you know, I got to work with James a little bit in that process of getting him to college. And, you know, the thing that we talked about at that time, if you remember, was he was kind of on the fence a little bit. He had several schools interested in him. And, of course, Cumberland's a no-brainer, you know, you playing there and all that. But I think the thing after the fact that I talked about with James is that he went and played. You know, if he hadn't gone and played, I think he would have said, you know, in his mind, he would have wished he went and did that this whole time. He's really glad that he did that.
He truly is. He's really thankful for that experience, and it did teach him a lot. You know how it is being on a football team, especially on one you don't know anybody else on it. So it really helped his growth and just, I think, helped him in a lot of ways.
So Clay, you know, got the opportunity to go over and play at Tennessee Tech for Dwayne Alexander. He's right in a smack dab in the middle of that. You guys are at the games, of course, every time that they play here and sometimes away. How satisfied is that to have him in your hometown?
Oh, it's been really fun. It has. It's been nice. Then the funny thing with Clay and James Matt is Donnie Suber was the head coach at Cumberland when James went there, and then when Clay comes over here to Tech, he's the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And Donnie was a graduate assistant when I was at Cumberland. So he coached me, and we won't let him talk about any of those days to the boys, but but that's been pretty neat having Donnie and just getting to see him again and kind of acquainted back with him.
Donnie's coming in here soon, so I'll have to ask him about that when I get him in here.
Yeah, you will, for sure.
Today we're talking to James Massengill and talking about his past and football history and his family.
Yeah, so let's talk about, you know, coming up in Livingston, what was it about football that really drew you to it and made that kind of your big passion?
I'll tell you, I had a coach in eighth grade, Terry Melton, that I was scared to death of him. But he really was strong disciplinary, and just I had the utmost respect for him. And he probably really sparked my interest in football and made me want to play and just be a better, you know, be the best player I could be.
And what grade was it that you really kind of started hitting your stride and realized, hey, I may be able to take this even beyond high school?
It was funny. Coach Melton coached the grade school, 5th through 8th grade. Mm-hmm. And my senior year at high school is when Coach Melton took the head job there, and the program had been in terrible shape. And he renewed our whole energy for football. I mean, we treated every practice like a game. You know, we really practiced hard, and Danny McCohen came then. And it was a special year. And I think that kind of was when Livingston football kind of got back on track for sure that year. We went to the playoffs, and at that time, I don't even know that we knew there was a state champion, you know. Mm-hmm. Outside of our district, we didn't know much of anything even going on. You know, there's not much media back in those days, you know.
Now, are there any players from those teams you want to call out? I'm sure you made some special relationships. Sound like y'all had a good group of guys.
Oh, we did. We did. Shane Qualls is one that we went to Cumberland together, and Shane was actually getting recruited by Cumberland, and I just kind of begged him to ask if I could go with him. So that's kind of how my career at Cumberland started. They really wanted Qualls and got me as kind of a – I made Shane tell him I had to go too. So
I tell you what, that's a really good point, Michael, because you ended up being an All-American at Cumberland. You know, you're in the Hall of Fame. You know, there's a lot of things that you did, and that just goes to show you how many kids out there have the ability to be able to play. And when you got there, all you needed was your chance. And when you got your chance, man, did you shine.
Yeah, it's so true. It's crazy to think about Shane just, you know, getting that opportunity. I wasn't thinking a thing about, well, I would have told you I couldn't play college football somewhere, you know. And just funny how that worked out and just kind of changed my whole life direction, basically.
How special is it now for you as a businessman now to sit back and think, man, I did really well there, and I can't believe I would, you know, Hall of Fame, All-American, all those things that you did. How does that feel now?
It feels good. It does. It's special. There was a special group of guys there. I guess my teammates are the biggest accomplishment I made there at Cumberland. You know, I was captain all 4 years there. And just the relationships that I made with those guys. I mean, I still talk to them pretty regularly. And I don't know, I just created a lot of really good friendships there that are really special to me. And
you mentioned a name there, Danny McCoin. And so, that, you know, for him to be your coach that first year there when you guys turned that program around is pretty special. But that also ages Danny. And we know how old that guy is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's eluded me on this show, but I'm gonna get him pretty soon. And hopefully he'll hear what I just said.
Yes, he'll probably have some fun stories about that. You know, those guys were pretty great when they came out.
Yeah, Coach Melton, I know him, you know, from you guys.
Yeah.
And then you throw Danny McCoin in the mix, and I know he can be a pretty motivating person. So how was he that first year coming back and coaching?
Their whole mantra was to just get us in condition. You know, we didn't have a weight program, so we were going to just be in better shape than everybody, and he about killed us, you know. We ran more than I ever had in my whole life, for sure.
I tell you, that was a guy that had a lot of experience, man. I remember growing up in grade school, he was a little ahead of me, and being able to watch him play, he was something else as a player.
Yes, yeah.
No doubt. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, along with co-host Michael Bowen. And in the hot seat today, we got James Massengill. Continuing that conversation, high school football, college football, sports in general, and what it meant to you, James.
Yeah, James, so obviously, you know, we talked a little bit about senior year and the success you guys had at Livingston and you starting to get the opportunity to look beyond high school and play in college. So you touched on it, but take us through that process a little bit. You know, what landed you at Cumberland? What made you make that decision?
Shane Qualls truly was the reason I ended up at Cumberland.
Yeah.
You know, they were pretty heavy about recruiting him. Their football program was brand new. So I kind of got to tag along with Shane's the story.
Yeah.
And it ended up just working out, really liked it at Cumberland. I think there was 85 guys my first year there, and there ended up being 9 of us that made it all 4 years.
Wow.
So us 9 are pretty tight, and that was pretty neat to look back and think, man, there was 85 guys there, and just 9 of us went all 4 years, you know, out of that 85. So
yeah.
And we did well my senior year. We went 9-1, went to the playoffs.
Wow.
Went to Tacoma, Washington, and we got killed out there, but we really thought we were going to beat them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess so.
And you know, the difference between going to high school to college, obviously the commitment, a lot bigger commitment, you know, a lot more time commitment, got to put in a lot more work. Talk about that transition in your life.
I'll tell you, the thing about college, the reason I think I was successful in college is I was scared to death half the time. You know, these guys were a lot bigger than me, stronger, fat. I just always felt like I didn't belong out there, you know. So I was a maximum effort guy.
Michael and I can both attest to that. Fear is a great motivator.
It is. I've always told people I was scared to death half the time. It's the reason I did so well.
So you got three guys right here, all played college football, and it's unique, the point of view and perspective of each of us, I'm sure. For me, the change was speed of the game. And you hear that, you know, from high school to college to professional level, the biggest difference is the actual speed of the game. For me, that was the case. That's what I had to get used to very quickly. Is that what you saw on the defensive side?
Yes. And seemed like more of a role play, you know. You know, everybody kind of had more of a position to where in high school you was kind of playing the whole field and trying to make every tackle, you know, to where you had more, I don't know if the term I'm looking for, maybe more of a scheduled type.
Yeah, more specialized.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's amazing. I'm sure in high school I never came off the field. You know, I played offense, defense, special teams, everything. And then you get into college, and it is specialized.
Yes.
But it seems like the energy needed, the level of play that you have to raise your game to, you know, almost I was more tired in college, you know, playing than I ever was in high school. And I only played that one way. I was off the field half the time. It's amazing to me that's
that is so true, yeah. I agree with that 100%.
And I think also the competitiveness of practice, you know, is something you have to change your expectations on. Where in high school, certainly practice can be tough, but in college, it seems like even the warm-ups are competitive.
Exactly. And especially back when we all played, you know, we were hitting a lot more than they do nowadays, you know. So we were live probably 3 days out of a full week's practice, you know, even during season.
How did you coach your kids up? You know, you went from being a big fish in a little pond by the time you were your senior year in high school, and then you went into Cumberland and you became a little fish in a bigger pond. How did you prepare them for that?
Just by trying to work hard and listen to your coaches, try to be a good leader, just try to do everything right and get the respect of your teammates by just showing them you're a hard worker and that you're, you know, listening to your coaches, doing what they say, and just trying to do your very best on every drill, regardless of what it is.
You know, and I think about your career and what you described there, and I think a lot of people kind of have this experience where football can be, maybe football wasn't for a young athlete the sport they set out that they thought they were going to play long term, but it can kind of be a late blooming sport too. So, I feel like as you get older, you know, football can become your path and take you places that you never dreamed you could go.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
Let's chronicle that a little bit, Michael. And today we're talking to James Massengill, Overton County fame, and also Cumberland University and Livingston Academy. So sports means a lot in different ways for different people. So you've had a pretty good business career, to say the least. So how do you think sports really helped you evolve into that successful business person?
I think it just made me recognize everybody that's involved in, say, our office or a business transaction, you know, from the person who's working up front answering the phone or the janitor doing the – I try to treat everybody the exact same, you know. And I was always inspired by the worst teammate or, you know – the worst player on our team. You know, we had a few guys at Cumberland that I can still remember that gave it everything they had. And you know, a couple of that nine that went the 4 years, they never started, they never got to play. And that just always really impacted me, you know, that it just, they would stick that out and they were into it as much as I was, you know, and it really helped me to get a good outlook.
I'm sure it's not been just roses the whole time, you know, in the business world. You've probably been through some tough times. How did you draw from what you learned in sports and specifically football, you know, to really create the opportunities for success along the way for you?
You know, I've had a bad experience this morning, you know, with my business, and it's just trying to move on. Just try to give the transaction the utmost respect and, hey, we're just going to go get another one, you know, and that's kind of been – the biggest thing I think about football, you know, you make a bad play, unfortunately, probably more than I made good ones, you know, and that's kind of how I am about it in the business world. So
awesome.
Just the resilience of just trying to keep doing everything the right way, you know, and that's hard to do in today's world. You know, people are taking shortcuts and we try to just do it right and just know if we keep doing it right, it's going to work out, you know, and keep working hard.
And it sounds like you're speaking a lot about overcoming adversity, which is certainly something you got to do on the football field.
Yes, definitely.
And you know, you talked about the locker room a little bit, I'm sure, in your business. You know, locker room's a great equalizer. You know, it's where you really learn to get along with everybody. And in the business world, nothing's more true than as far as relationship building and that sort of thing.
It is. You know how diverse a football team is, and our client base is just like that, you know, and we have some rental properties, and we've just deal with a real diverse group of people in both insurance and on the rental side, and it's really helped me to, like I said, I hope anybody who talked about me or met me would say I treated them just like I would the President of the United States, you know, hopefully. So.
And you know, going along those lines, is there any advice you'd give a young person growing up right now who's getting into sports and you know, thinking about, you know, where it might take them in their career? What advice would you give to them?
My mantra is 110%. I mean, it is. I tell my brothers that, my boys that, and that hard work and 110%, it will always pay off. 100%. You know, I believe that wholeheartedly. It just may not be on our timeline. Mm. You know, it may come to one of them, maybe not at the football field, but in his business later on or his job. You know, if he keeps that same attitude and that same hard work, it will show up. I believe it. It may just, we talk about our timeline. It may be not what we want it to happen, you know.
Right. So beyond work and taking care of your kids and your family, what hobbies do you have?
Like to go to the lake. Like to go get on the Del Hollow Lake, mm-hmm. Still have a love for that, kind of grew up on it. Like to golf, not as much as I used to. I've kind of slowed down golf, and I'm so bad anymore. I don't like playing as much.
I don't believe that for a second. So, James, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Last segment, we got James Massengill in the house today. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, co-host Michael Bowen in the house. We got James Massengill in here today. I'm going to shift gears a little bit, James. We both had the opportunity to serve on the search committee for the new Cookeville High School coach, who ended up being Taylor Hennigan. Tell a little bit about that process from your point of view.
They put together, correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, but I think 10 members of that committee, and I think it was 10 very qualified, very Cookeville, loved the football program, that just wanted the very best for Cookeville football. So it was a pretty special group, and I was very honored to be on it and took it extremely seriously. And I think we made a good choice with Coach Hennigan.
Yeah, I mean, you've had kids play at Cookeville High School, so you got one playing there right now, and you've had two prior to that. So it's a unique deal, but you're not a Cookeville High School alumni, but you really, you know, have immerse yourself in that situation of supporting Cookeville High School football through your kids.
Yes, like you said, both of my older boys have been through the program recently, and Jack's just starting it, and it's meant a lot to our family, and it's really helped the boys grow, and just I can see their growth from going through the football program. Jimmy did a great job, and
no doubt,
he had a great career, and we're excited to see what Taylor's going to bring to the.
Let's take just a second and get, you know, Jimmy Maynard. I've known Jimmy for a long time, Livingston boy, you know, went to Tennessee Tech, played quarterback. The first time I ran into Jimmy, he was coaching at White County, and he was defensive coordinator, soon to be, you know, the head coach a little bit later on before he left and went moved on. But, you know, already had a name. It's funny, he was an offensive guy and became a defensive guy. You know, he's a defense coordinator there, did a great job. Some of our toughest games at Cookeville were against White County at that time because they were pretty good at that time. And so that's kind of how I got to know Jimmy. And then I got to follow his career when he went on to Riverdale.
Legendary.
Yeah. Riverdale, well, you know. Gary, he went with Gary Rankin, and I found out at Jimmy's little function they had for him at the end there to celebrate him. I found out he was the one responsible for getting Gary Rankin that job at Riverdale. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that was the case. And then, you know, the rest is history there.
Yep. Oh, and you know, Upperman teams, took an Upperman team to the state semifinals when I was in high school at Cookeville. I mean, just a ton of success.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah, Coach Maynard's a great guy. He's a kind of always been a legend to me, you know. He played at Tech. He was beat us every year he was at Smith County. In my Hawkeye days, I had a couple of brothers playing on those teams, and yeah, he's always been legendary to us.
I always thought at some point in time that you'd see Jimmy Maynard getting back to Overton County, but, you know, it kind of ran its course, and then it got to where he's considering retirement the last 3 or 4 years, you know, and it just kind of didn't have the opportunity.
Yes, one thing that at his retirement celebration was he never got beat by Gordonsville when he was at Smith County, and never got beat by Livingston, which we had a state championship in one of those years, and he put it on us.
So. Well, in the years he was at Smith County, Gordonsville had a state championship too.
Well, that's true.
And
yeah.
They never beat him. It's amazing. He's just a great career, and we want to honor that guy. And just, you know, before we get into talking a little bit about Taylor Hennigan, just kudos to Jimmy Maynard and what he did. I'm going to have him on the show here real soon, and we're gonna put him on the hot seat a little bit.
Yes, and I'm fortunate Jimmy got to coach all three of my boys. You know, we kind of had a unspoken agreement that he would retire after Jack graduated from Cookeville High School, but that didn't work out. So
when you got the call to be on the committee to hire the new coach, just going in before we got to meet the first time, you know, what were your expectations, and not only as a parent but as a local businessman supporting that Cookeville High School football team?
I was full committed. I was extremely nervous about it just because it is a very important position, and I just wanted to be sure that everyone was as committed as I was going to be to making that decision, you know. And it was a process that I think was handled extremely well by Max Pettit, the principal. And,
you know, watching from the outside at y'all's committee, one thing that struck me was just the number of quality candidates that you guys had to evaluate. And you know, that really just speaks to, you know, the popularity of the program and what a great job it is. So, you know, talk about that a little bit.
50-plus candidates from 11 states.
And, you know, no one took the process lightly. We went through every resume, looked at every candidate. And it was very impressive kind of how they had it laid out, how they wanted to do it, wasn't it, Sam?
Yeah, and you miss Tammy over there that works with Max at Cookeville High School, just a professional process from the get-go.
It really was. It really was. And I think everyone got a quality look, and strong consideration was given, you know, to every qualified candidate for sure.
We ended up, Michael, with five candidates that we kind of pushed forward to Mr. Pettit, and that he was going to do the interview process with. And he had a time frame that he wanted to meet from the beginning. But interesting thing along the way, we felt like and had a discussion, if we went through that process and we didn't feel like we had the right person, you know, we felt like if we needed to, we could open it back up, you know. But once we got into that interview process and we saw the candidates and started talking to them, we knew pretty quickly we were going to be able to hire a coach.
Yes, it was evident we were going to get a good quality coach out of those five for sure. So it was a little nerve-wracking, as Sam said, but once we interviewed the five coaches, we were 100% confident that Cookeville's got a special opportunity with one of the five.
So question for both of you guys, without, you know, going too deep into the process, talk about how you landed at your decision and what it was about Taylor that really struck you.
I guess Taylor, of course, there's a lot of risk with Taylor. You know, he's never coached high school football, and he's got a love for it. He's got a passion. He's got a plan for Cookeville football that he didn't just think about when this job interview went out, you know, that I thought was evident to me. You know, it's something that you could tell he's been thinking about for years, not just when Jimmy decided to retire, you know. Sam?
Yeah, what struck me is, and he actually did, he was at White County. He was defense coordinator down there at White County when he left Tech. And he wanted to get into high school just to have that experience. And so he had a little bit of high school experience, but the thing that struck me was he was going along about his way. He was coaching over in North Carolina in a university that's on its way up. And so this is not something that he had to do. He was being very successful where he was at, and he's been a special teams coordinator. So he's had the experience of leading young men. And so, you know, comparing that to a head coaching situation in high school, I think it's very comparable. And you know, I've been there and done that, so I kind of was able to draw from that a little bit. And knowing that Taylor had, you know, been in charge of those special teams and the defense coordinator in high school, he had some good experience. Now, anytime you move into a new seat, you think you know. When I worked with Ron Chambers and I was his offensive coordinator, I thought I knew everything. And I thought, you know, hey, I'm going to be able to jump right into this role and be able to take it over and know what I'm doing. You never know what you're getting into. I don't care what job it is. You never know what you're getting into until you actually get to do it. And I found that out too. So there's nothing you can do, but also, at what point do you get, you know, you want head coaching experience, but what chance, at what point do you give a person that head coaching experience and see how they do? You got to get there to be able to get that experience. And I just feel like Tater Hennigan is ripe and prime and ready to be a head coach.
Yes, me as well. Yeah, he had a good plan. He's got a good way he wants to run his program, and I think he's going to have a good connection with the kids for sure.
Michael, the interview process, you know, he ended up being the last person we interviewed, and to me, I mean, he won the interview. Mm. I mean, he walked in there. The confidence was, you know, you could see it in his face, and I could tell pretty quickly this is something that he's always wanted to do. So the question in my mind is, why would he leave a university that's up and coming? And, you know, if they're successful there, the next call is going to probably be from a higher Division I team with a lot more pay. Mm. So he's not in it for the pay. This is what he's wanted to do his whole life. I didn't realize that, but this is one of the things. This is his dream job.
Yep. And passion for Cookeville High School football is something I'm sure you guys were looking for in your evaluation process, and sounds like you got it.
Yes, we think he definitely fits the bill.
And I've also heard, you know, high football IQ, obviously coming from a football family, I mean – lots of resources to draw from a knowledge standpoint there.
I wasn't as worried about him not being a head coach because he's lived with one his whole life.
Right.
That you know, has played pro ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I talked to some of the alumni from Tennessee Tech, and you talk about the Youngbloods and Lewis Grooms and all those guys. But Mike Hennigan, you know, apparently was an animal, you know, on the football field. I didn't realize how good he was,
yep,
even when he was here, and All-American, all those things, you know, James. So I think we've got a guy with a very high football IQ that wants to be at Cookeville High School and wants to be here for a while.
Yep.
Yes, yeah. I think we'll raise his family. He's got two young children that he wants to raise here in Cookeville, and I think it's a great fit.
So one of the things we talked about, Michael, during the whole process was finding somebody with high character. You know, Jimmy Maynard was a high-character guy. You know, Jocelyn before him was a high-character guy. How important was that to you as a parent?
It was very. And, you know, to find a faith, you know, a Christian man as well. And I think Taylor fits the bill on both of those. You know, I think he's extremely high-character, and the Lord's very important in his life, you know.
I agree. And that was something we could see with that interview committee that was very important to them, too.
Yes, true.
So, you know, I think you got a high IQ guy, Michael, that one of the things that attracted me to Taylor real quickly was the fact that he's going to be able to put together a pretty good staff pretty quickly, and he's available right now.
Yes, yeah, he's planning on starting January 3rd, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, great.
So, you know, if you want to hit the ground running, be able to pull that staff together real quickly, and I think, you know, youth can be good if it's done. And then you got Max Pettit, who's the principal there, who's got 25 years of high school coaching experience. People don't realize that. Max was a very successful coach in Kentucky, and that you got that experience leading Taylor also.
Yep. Yes, I thought that was instrumental in going back to the committee on how Max led us in that process. And he's a football guy. I loved him. I didn't know Max that well until that committee. And, yeah, I could tell real quick he's a football guy and very knowledgeable and wants to definitely see Cookeville High School succeed.
So, guys, we're closing down on our time right now. And, James, I just want to say thank you for taking the time to join us today. Just really congratulate you on a successful career, but not only your football career and your sports career, but, you know, the business side of it also, and how successful you've been able to do in raising three boys. And, you know, I'm going to give most of the credit to your lovely wife.
Yeah, that's where it's due. <for sure. laughs>
Man, it's been a pleasure to have you today. We'll get you to come back and talk some more football a little bit later if you can.
Sounds great. Hey, thank you so much for having me.
I truly enjoyed it. Appreciate you.